Well, hello everyone, and again, this is Minor Hawk, your voice of the gospel speaker, greeting you in the name which is above every name, the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, over in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 we read, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And even St. Peter tells us over there in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." Now I know that many people today don't think much of that blessed name, because if they did, they wouldn't curse and take his blessed name in vain. When I hear someone use the Lord's name in vain, I think of what we read in Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Yes, there's a day coming when those who profane the name of Jesus Christ will bow and acknowledge that the one who bear that name is none other than the Son of Almighty God. Unfortunately, many will bow the knee when it's too late to be saved. But friend, this is still the day of God's grace. So why not bow your heart, as it were, before God today and acknowledge that the one who bear the name Jesus Christ also bear away your sin in his own body on the cross. Let's open up the broadcast today with a lively tune, and it's entitled, "In the Sweet By and By."
There is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
God today for everyone out in Radio Land who can say of a truth that they're really looking forward to that time in the sweet by and by. Yes, thank God we have the assurance of God's Word, which cannot lie, that one of these days, perhaps today, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to take us home to be with and like him forevermore. But how about you, my friend? You who are listening in today unsaved, what would it mean if the Lord Jesus Christ should come today? Where would you be? Would you be left behind? Or would you be caught up to be with him and like him forevermore? Now, friends, today I'd like to offer some free literature for those of you who'd care to have it. I have quite a number of tracts at home, and I'd like to send them out to anyone who can use them prayerfully. So if you'd like to have some free, basic, and fundamental gospel tracts, you just send me your name and address, and I'll send them to you without cost or obligation. These are sound and fundamental gospel tracts that can be used by the Holy Spirit of God to bring conviction and conversion to anyone outside of Christ. So friend, if you'd like to have at least 100 gospel tracts, you send me your name and address, and I'll send them to you by return mail. That address is The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. That address again, The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we come into thy presence today to thank thee again for thy beloved Son. We thank thee that he died on the old rugged cross for our sin. He was the Lamb foreordained before the foundations of the earth were laid. Yes, Lord, he was the Lamb of God bearing away our sin in his own body on the tree. We thank thee, Father, for all the value and the virtue thou hast placed upon his finished work at Calvary. We thank thee, too, Lord, for extending the day of grace so that we might have this blessed privilege and opportunity to speak well concerning the claims of thy Son as the Savior of sinful men and women, boys and girls. Honor afresh thy word and thy Son by saving souls. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before we open the book today to get another message from God in the gospel, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it's entitled, Jesus is Waiting.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time he has waited before, and now he's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. Step toward the Savior, my friend. You'll find his arms open wide. Receive him and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart he'll abide. Time after time
Friends, I'd like to direct your attention to four separate portions of the Word of God today. The first is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation, chapter 21, and verse 27. That's the last verse of Revelation, chapter 21. Here's what we read. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now for the second scripture, we'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 41. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now the third scripture is found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 17. Luke chapter 18 and verse 17. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. Now for the fourth and final scripture, John's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 37. And again the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Well, friends, today we've read together four separate portions of the Word of God, and if you were observant, you no doubt realized that each of these verses of Scripture had a common expression in it, and that expression consisted of three words, in no wise, in no wise. Now, today I'd like, with the help of God, to bring before you a message in the Gospel using these four separate Scripture texts. First of all, in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27, we read concerning the New Jerusalem to come down from God out of heaven, and here's what it says, And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, friends, the Word of God is very clear in regards to those who will enter the glories of heaven. God says that there shall in no wise or under no condition enter into heaven anything that defileth, nor maketh an abomination, or maketh a lie. No, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life shall ever know the glories of heaven. Now here in Revelation chapter 21, we read of the only place in the Bible where the description of heaven is given out in any degree of human comprehension. And even at that, the physical characteristics of this wonderful place are enough to stagger and stir the imagination. Yes, the gates of pearl, the street of gold, the walls of jasper and other precious stones. My, what a sight to behold. Ah, but friends, the most beautiful sight of all will be the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be there, and he'll be the center of all rejoicing and worship and praise. And the courts of heaven will resound with a multitude of voices singing unto him who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Yes, throughout the countless ages of all eternity, the redeemed of the Lord will sing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. But friends, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life will be in this wonderful place, the place of no night, no tears, no pain, no heartache, no death. Yes, the place where there will be no need of light, because the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the light thereof. Now, friends, according to this Bible, there's only one way for a sinner to reach this place called heaven, and that's not through a church or a doctrine or a creed or a philosophy. No, it's not through church membership or some religious ritual such as baptism either, but it's through a person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In John 14 and verse 6, he declares, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again in John 10 and verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So that's it, friend. If you ever expect to be in God's heaven, you'll have to come through faith in God's Son. You'll have to have all your sins washed away by his precious blood. You'll have to acknowledge that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner who can't do a thing to save your own soul. And then in simple childlike faith, you'll have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. You know, over in Romans 3 and 23, we read that there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But friends, I read in 1 John 1 and 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So friend, why not acknowledge that you're defiled in God's sight today, and then accept His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the one who died for your sins at Calvary's cross. You know, it's interesting to note in witnessing to people about their spiritual welfare that most of them hope to reach heaven someday after they die. But strangely enough, these people don't like the idea of dying in order to reach heaven. Well, friends, death holds no fear for the Christians. No, it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. I might add that some of the people who have professed to be saved as a result of this radio broadcast down through the years have been people who are physically incapacitated. Yes, they're physically handicapped. And it just seems as though God has laid them aside on beds of affliction so that they could hear the gospel over the air. These same people, perhaps, would never have entered into a church building where the truth of God's grace is preached. So you see, these radio messages are getting into homes, institutions, and automobiles of people who might otherwise never hear the truth of God's word regarding their lost and ruined condition in God's sight, and regarding the remedy for their spiritual condition, and that remedy is none other than the blood of God's Son. Now let's move along to our second scripture text for today, and that's Acts chapter 13 and verse 41. And there we read of how the Apostle Paul is preaching in the synagogue at Antioch, and he is boldly declaring unto them the justification made possible by faith in Jesus Christ alone. He reminds them that it isn't by faith in keeping the Ten Commandments or anything like that. And then he tells them in verse 41 that it was prophesied centuries before that they would be unbelievers. Yes, he tells them that that's what the Word of God had said. They would be unbelievers and despisers of the Word. Friend, he reminds them there in verse 41 that they would see a work which ye shall in no wise believe. And oh, how true that was. Yes, the Lord God of heaven, the Creator of the universe, came forth with incarnation, and in condescending grace, He entered the bosom of a young virgin called Mary. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem of Judea nearly 2,000 years ago. And the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who though He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, yet ye through His poverty might be rich." At the age of 12, Jesus Christ was found in the temple discussing the things of God with the learned men of His day. He grew in stature before the throngs of earth and heaven. He went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. He gave sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, voice to the dumb. He cast out demons. He cured the lepers and even raised the dead. But what does our text say? They in no wise believed. They in no wise believed. He turned the water into wine. He fed the 5,000. He healed the brokenhearted. He calmed the troubled sea. Friend, listen, Jesus Christ broke neither the laws of God nor man, and He finally died on the cross for the sins of His people. But what does our text say? They in no wise believed. Yes, John could say of a truth in John 1 and verse 11, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, thank God, to them gave He the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Again, I think of that scene when the Lord Jesus Christ wept over the city of Jerusalem. And here's what He cried, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, ye that stoneth the prophets, and killeth them that are sent unto you, how often would I have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, but ye would not." Ye would not. Yes, even though He fulfilled to the letter every Old Testament prophecy concerning Himself, yet they in no wise believed. Over in John chapter 8 and in verse 24, Jesus told the religious Jews, "If ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." My, what a solemn thought! To be in the very presence of God manifest in flesh, see Him live a perfect life, see Him perform the many miracles which He did, and then to reward Him with a crown of thorns, the riven side, the nail-pierced hands and feet. Ah, my friends, this was the just one, dying for you and I the unjust, so that He might bring us back to God. Yes, He truly was the one who knew no sin, yet in love for you and I, He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Praise the Lord. Now let's take a brief look at our third text for today, Luke chapter 18 and verse 17, where we read that except a person receive salvation as a little child, they shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. Now perhaps someone listening in today is uncertain regarding the meaning of this scripture. You're saying, well, what does it mean to receive salvation or the kingdom of God as a little child? Well, friend, it means to accept God's salvation through simple childlike faith, without question, without seeking to understand the logic behind it, without trying to understand it intellectually. You know, if a father places his child on a 5-foot-high wall and asks the child to jump into his arms, that child will jump. Why? It has the faith that that father will catch his child. That little child is depending entirely upon the truthfulness of that father. Yes, the child is depending upon the ability of the father to keep him from harm. And so it is with salvation. When a sinner realizes his lost condition in God's sight, and when he realizes he can't do a thing to save his own soul, then, my friend, the sinner is confronted with faith or lack of faith. He must determine, once convicted by the Holy Spirit of God, whether or not to trust God's Son as his Savior or not to trust him as his Savior. He must be convinced in his own heart, not only in his head, but he must be convinced in his own heart that God's Word is true when it presents the claims of Jesus Christ as the only one who can save his soul from eternal woe. Yes, from beginning to end, it's a question of exercising childlike faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed at Calvary's cross. Now, over in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we read that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And perhaps someone is wondering where they can get the faith so that they can please God. Well, friend, in Romans 10 and 17, we have the answer, because there we're told that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's a question of believing God. And that's simply the reason I quote so much scripture on the Voice of the Gospel broadcast. God declares that His Word, not mine, but His Word shall not return void. So I claim that promise again today. And I honestly believe that God's Word is being used by the Holy Spirit of God to convict of sin and point sinners listening in to their only hope of salvation, and that is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And remember, sinner friend, you can in no wise enter the kingdom of God apart from childlike faith in the precious blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, that leads us to our final text for today, and oh, how wonderful it is. In John chapter 6 and verse 37, the Lord Jesus Christ declares, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Sinner friend, if you've never been saved or born again, then why not come by faith to Jesus Christ? He promises, I will in no wise cast out. If you're burdened with a load of sin, and you're afraid to meet God in this spiritual condition, then come to Jesus Christ, because He promises, I will in no wise cast out. Sinner friend, if you want to be sure of going to heaven when you die, and if you want to be prepared for the Lord's return, which could be today, then come by faith to Jesus Christ. For He promises, Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise or under no condition cast out. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is ready, willing, and able to save the vilest sinner in the world. And He's also just as willing to save the most religious, church-going, Bible-reading hypocrite listening in today. You know, sometimes the devil would tell people that they're too sinful to be saved. And sometimes he tells them that it's too late for them to be saved. And sometimes he tells them that they have to experience some feeling or see a vision or revelation or go to the altar or to be prayed through. Listen, sinner friend, all you have to do to be saved or become a child of God is to acknowledge that you're a lost rebel sinner in God's sight. And this can only be brought about by the Holy Spirit of God and God's Word. Then, my friend, once you're convicted of sin, you simply plead the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all. That's all. Simply place your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. And friend, if you're not depending upon the blood of Jesus Christ to take you into God's heaven, then answer this question. Upon what or upon whom are you depending to get to God's heaven? And friend, don't forget too that God is more anxious to save your soul than you are to be saved. And He, in love for your soul, has provided the means whereby you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved today. Yes, and the promise is still as valid today, too. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Friend, why not take God at His word right now? Trust His Son as your own and personal Savior before it's eternally too late. Yes, wherever you are, and whoever you may be listening to this program today, acknowledge and repent of your sin, and then with all your heart, simply trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we again bow in Thy presence again today to thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee, our God, for all the value and the virtue Thou hast placed upon His death at Calvary. And our God, we thank Thee that He now sits at Thy right hand, our great High Priest. He's our advocate, our intercessor. Lord, the only mediator we have between us and Thee today is the man in the glory, the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor afresh Thy Son. Bless Thy word, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, Thy Son. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel. That's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. If you'd like to have those gospel tracts I was speaking about at the beginning of the broadcast, you just write to me, The Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. I'll send them to you without cost or obligation and by return mail. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.